Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
I got to tell you, I still, I cannot. I know there was so much to get to today. There's so much. The guy asking Trump if he regretted, being such a liar. That's funny and on my mind. But, I'll tell you, I just can't get past.
We're not going to let Joe Biden and Kamala Harris cut America's meat.
We're not going to let you cut our meat. It's not happening, man. We're not going to let Kamala Harris cut my meat. That's mama's job. I'm sorry. I just can't get past that. And here to share some thoughts on Mike Pence's meat. I've asked our good friend Sarah Burris, reporter over at Raw Story, to share some thoughts. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
That's a metaphor I never thought about.
So we're not going to let Kamala Harris cut our meat.
Here's the thing. The Beatles once said, all you need is love. But I feel like barbecue gets pretty close.
I'm with you. I got to tell you, I really cannot wait for Kamala Harris to proverbially shove an impossible burger down his throat.
Oh, it's going to be the best debate ever. I think it's probably going to be more people are going to tune into that than the Biden debate, because I think Biden's going to be like very, reserved and presidential and yada, yada. He'll throw some malarkeys here and there. But Harris is going to take Pence and put him in a place I think he secretly has always wanted to be.
I'm not going there, not getting down into
the
cutting of the meat.
You're the one who mentioned the Pence meat.
And here's the thing, while we're talking about Pence's meat, we find out today that Michael Cohen knows where the P tapes are, or where P tapes may be, and he might leak them.
Yeah, Michael Cohen knows where all the bodies are buried. And I think, as somebody who has been banned by Michael Cohen on Twitter, I feel like we should all come together around the idea that even if it means that Michael Cohen is divulging something that a lawyer should not divulge, it's in the interest of the country, right? I feel like, he's doing the right thing here. Everybody should, I don't know how many minds it's going to change, because I feel like there's like 4% of people who are undecided right now. Like there's somebody out there who's like, God, I don't know enough about Donald Trump. I need to learn. I need to Google some position on it. Like, no, nobody feels like that. And I doubt any of those people, if they are undecided, they're probably not that interested in getting up and risking the corona to go to the polls. So, I think it's going to be a really great entertainment for the rest of us. I'm not sure it's going to move the needle.
No. But it's going to make him some money, and good for him. I'm glad to see that he used his time in prison well.
Yeah, totally.
I just want to know, and I said this when I found out he was writing the book, I just wanted to know, did he write it on toilet paper? Especially during a time when toilet paper was at a premium, and who funded the toilet paper that was at a premium during the time he wrote the book?
Speaking of toilet paper, I really want to know why Trump needs to flush the toilet 10 times. I know this kind of keeps coming back, especially with the new showerhead regulations, but I think America needs to know, like, what is going on with you intestinally that you have to flush the toilet 10 times? Really?
Oh, that's funny. And thanks for bringing that up. And thanks for reminding me that it's not bad enough I had to think about Mike Pence's meat. Now I got to think about Donald Trump's other end.
That's what I'm here for.
Thanks for that. But let's get to the other thing. Today, hero. Twitters have this SV date guy as a big hero. He asked the question I think most of us at one time or another have thought of. Do you regret lying to us? Do you regret being dishonest? And I can answer it for him. No. But I found it interesting that nobody backed the guy up.
Yeah, I was really surprised by that too. And that was one of the things that I've always been really bothered by in the press room, is it just seems like there's so much opportunity for all of these reporters to kind of come back at the president and say, actually, no, I want to know the answers to what, you know, Caitlin Collins just asked you, or I want to know, you know, the rest of that answer that, that you're avoiding telling us about, you know, whatever. I'm surprised. I'm really, I mean, I know, I think that there are a lot of people in the press room that are probably conservative plants that are there to ask him things like, what's your favorite color and why are you so awesome? But
the you're thinking about One American News. Yeah.
She's the one who likes to ask, what's your favorite color? And it's always like, you can tell how insecure he is that day based on who he calls. Like, if he's feeling really confident in himself, he'll call on, you know, somebody that he thinks is the fake news. But if he's having like a really bad day and down on himself, he's always going to call on OAN first. So, you know, I'm proud of the guy for being brave enough to ask it. I'm really disappointed in the rest of the press corps for not backing him up.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, even if you don't agree, you go, hey, you know, you got to answer the guy's question, because maybe someday I'm going to ask a question that I'm going to want an answer to, and you should have to answer that. And this doesn't this come back to that, you know, Trump has done, and I think masterfully done, a great job of convincing a lot of people that it's all fake news and they're all beneath me, and that the media is actually the enemy in all of this. Instead of, you know, just trying to ferret out the truth and trying to, you know, to get to the bottom of things.
Yeah, and I think the reality is that the media is not the enemy of Trump. It's the truth that's the enemy of Trump. And the media is just the delivery purpose for that.
Yeah, Trump and the truth, I guess, you know, kind of far away as Pence and his meat. So there you go. I had to get one more meat thing in there. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I wanted to get your thoughts on the VP pick. The nasty woman. Do you see a kind of a pattern with Trump and all of these nasty women? I mean, you know, obviously Hillary was a nasty woman, and I think Nancy Pelosi, he's called a nasty woman. There've been a bunch of them there, and now, you know, Kamala Harris is a nasty woman. She's a phony nasty woman.
I'm gonna have to whip out my T-shirt because I have a nasty woman T-shirt that I feel like I'm gonna be able to reuse this year. But the reality is Trump has a serious problems with women. Maybe it's because he has mommy issues. Maybe it's because he's had 75 wives and nobody really loves him. I don't really know. Maybe it's because he has to pay for sex. I got nothing, but he seriously has issues with women, and the dude tweeting stuff about suburban housewives, you know, like to be fair, I'm sure people who still consider themselves housewives are probably voting for Donald Trump. But for the rest of the world that's, you know, a stay-at-home mom or a working mom or, you know, a working woman or whatever, those are not women who want to hear about being Trump's housewife or being called a nasty woman. And I think a lot of people, you know, a lot of women who experience men like Trump in their lives, I think they secretly probably, you know, whether their husbands and all of their friends or their church want them to vote some way, I think they're probably going to, you know, go into that voting booth and cast a ballot secretly for somebody else.
Yeah, I sure hope so, because we're in this just weird moment. Where, you know, you've got Trump running around saying, you know, no one could ever imagine how wonderful we've done with the virus on a day where we're almost at 170,000 people dead over this alternative reality kind of stuff. And then today to have him attacking Joe Biden for pointing out his obvious flaws seemed kind of weird that, you know, oh, please stop beating up on me.
The best part about that was that Donald Trump had the gall to say that that Biden is discounting the science. This is a man who told people to inject disinfectant and stick a UV light up their ass, right? Like, this is not a science man. He has never believed in science. He has pushed people out of the EPA. He's tried to get rid of all kinds of government scientists. He requires that they run all of their reports through a right-wing shill to monitor them. This is not the friend of science here. And So this like projection on this idea that somehow Biden doesn't trust the science of this. And then he turns around and attacks the mask mandate. Like, where do you think Biden is getting this? Is he just making it up? Is he just like, you know, picking a card out of a 52 card deck that says, ooh, wear a mask? No, he's listening to the damn scientists. So I'm just, I'm so frustrated. And it's like every single time he projects these things, it's really just that his own insecurities that he's just trying to project onto Biden. And it's sad. It's pathetic. And he needs to grow the hell up.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. And he's never going to change. He's only going to get worse. Just kind of throwing that out there as a matter of, you know, it is what it is. So
and I think it's going to get worse and worse the closer we get to election day, because he's going to get more desperate and we're all just going to be like in hell.
No, you're right. And as I've said, you know, from the day after Election Day until January 20th, 2021, that's going to be the most dangerous time in our country's history. Yeah. Because then it's like, well, they're going to just burn the house down to create a massive mess, I think, for Biden to clean up. But here's the weird thing. I mean, I don't know if you saw his comments today about, you know, we're not going to allow the Democrats to pass anything to get money to the Postal Service because we're not going to let them do the mail-in voting stuff. You know, that's just basically saying we're going to force the post office to fail. We're going to let them go to, you know, straight to pot, just so that maybe there's a chance that the people who would be voting for me, the older Americans, don't get the vote. It's kind of crazy.
It's going to end up going really badly for him. And I think the Republicans as well. I think the Senate is saying, all right, we're not going to meet back. I think they adjourned until September 8th.
Yep.
Which is just absurd, but they're on like a 24-hour watch in case something happens. But realistically, like nothing that the Republicans do, like nothing that the White House and the Congress agree on is gonna, you know, it's gonna have to have the USPS funding in it. And I think, I mean, honest to God, it's gonna end up being such a huge problem, not just because of the ballot thing, but like the whole mail thing. I don't know if you saw the ad from Vote Vets that they put on today, about how veterans aren't getting their prescriptions.
Right.
Like the VA mails prescriptions to veterans and they're not getting this stuff because Donald Trump is playing politics with the post office. And I mean, how many people is it gonna take for that? I mean, Nikki Haley already has come out and complained about the slowness of the post office because, you know, what's his name? Lovejoy, the postmaster general, is slowing things down and trying to cause problems. It's frustrating and people are going to get hurt. Like, this is the same thing we talk about. It seems like every other week there's something where it's like people are going to get hurt because of this, because Donald Trump is being a child.
But what we're seeing with the post office is, again, another one of those moments where you have people who say, we don't believe in government. We don't believe in government institution. We don't believe that they should be doing anything. And then they set out to do everything they can possibly do to prove their first position by doing all of the things that they've done. In fact, I had someone send me pictures that I guess were on Twitter of, you know, the post office or a contractor of the post office picking up the corner mailboxes so people can't drop their ballots in the corner mailbox anymore, that they're going to have to go to the post office. And you go, well, that's what big deal is that? Well, it's not a big thing, but it's another one of those, you know, death of 1,000 paper cuts. It's another one of those, the magnitude of, you know, one, this on top of that, on top of that, on top of that, creates an environment where it's going to harm the Postal Service.
I think the biggest campaign that Biden is going to have to do from now until Election Day is trying to convince people that Trump wants to take your vote away from you. And this is your right. And it doesn't matter if you're voting for him or voting for Donald Trump or voting for, you know, whatever third party they can come up with. If Kanye West can get on the ballot, everybody deserves the right to vote. And Trump is trying to take it away from people. And I just keep hoping that people will get enraged enough that means that they will work that much harder, you know, to get the ballot in the mail. I'm a little bit nervous about getting my ballot notarized because the lobby of my bank isn't open. And that's where I go to get things notarized. And so I'm going to have to figure out a place to get stuff notarized and get my ballot in the mail. So, I mean, it's just a lot of things like that where, we're all going to have to work really hard. We're going to have to, you know, promise ourselves that this is the number one priority, is our right to vote and our right to cast that ballot and do whatever it takes to get it in the mail.
And the fact that they would, that they put those kind of mandates that you have to have your ballot notarized, mm-hmm. is another one of those roadblocks. And it's a, you know, it's not a minor one. I mean, this is, you've mm-hmm. got to actually, you know, physically go to a place, and in some cases you have to pay for it. I don't know if your bank charges for it, but in some places you have to pay for this if you don't have a bank that notarizes. You know, this is another one of those obstacles where people go, ah, screw it, I can't do it.
So if somebody ever tells you that they're going to charge you to notarize a ballot, fight back against that and say, that's a poll tax and that's illegal. You can't ask me to pay for this. Technically it is. It just hasn't been challenged in court before. I would argue that it's also a poll tax that somebody has to put a stamp on the damn ballot. But again, like these are things that people don't know about. And I had UPS try and tell me that once whenever I went in to have my ballot notarized in the UPS store before I started going to my bank. And they tried to tell me that. And I was like, no, you can't. That's illegal. And it's a kid behind a counter who doesn't know any better. You know, if you just challenge it and say, no, this poll tax, that's illegal, then you're good. Chances are nobody's going to challenge that.
Yeah, and chances are most people don't know that you can challenge it. So they're either going to pay it and be really ticked off about it, I'm never voting by mail again.
Right.
Or they're just going to walk out and go, screw it, it's not that important.
Yeah, I hope that it's the former.
Yeah, you brought up Kanye West. You know, again, he's he's an interesting character. I mean, the sad reality is at this point, the poster child for the need for national mental health care. But he's actually going to be on a ballot. He's going to be on one or two of the state's ballots, right?
I don't know which ones he's going to end up on.
Oklahoma!
We're not going to win Oklahoma. I'm not worried about Oklahoma. If Kanye West encourages people in Oklahoma to vote for him, then that means that they're not going to vote straight ticket. And Oklahoma is a straight ticket state. So if somebody jumps off the Republican ticket, the Republican straight party ticket, to vote for Kanye West, that means they might very well cast the ballot for the congresswoman in the 5th district, that is the most endangered Democrat in Congress. And the other thing is, if they try and vote straight ticket and they check off Kanye West as the presidential, their ballot's going to be completely voided and it won't count.
Interesting. So you think, from your perspective, having Kanye on the ballot isn't a bad thing?
In Oklahoma, it's not. In Wisconsin, it would be. And that's why there are so many different legal battles right now. One of them is that the signatures that the Trump lawyer turned in, I think they got filed at something like 49 seconds after 5 p.m. And the law states 5 p.m. on the dot is the deadline. And then there's a whole legal challenge about, I think Kanye West's lawyers tried to say that Democrats had to prove that Mickey Mouse was not a real voter. There are a lot of legal challenges happening in Wisconsin. That's going to be an important one. I think maybe in Colorado, I don't know for sure. I don't know if that's a straight ticket state either, but, Colorado's kind of a lock for Joe Biden. That state has gone very blue.
Yeah, and maybe even a Senate pickup seat.
Yeah, I feel like the Senate seat is more important there. I don't think anybody who votes for Kanye West is going to vote for what's his name? For
Cory Gardner?
Cory Gardner. All I could remember was Cory, and I kept wanting to say Booker. But yeah, I just can't imagine, right, somebody who wants to vote for Kanye West wanting to vote for Gardner.
Yeah,
like, that
point.
Guy's the lamest white dude ever.
And speaking of lamest white dude ever, and finally, Jerry Falwell evidently taking an indefinite leave of absence from Liberty University because they caught him on a boat with a zipper down?
Yeah, and the story around it seems really weird. And when he was talking about it on the radio, he sounded like he was drunk. And I don't know if you noticed, but his face looks like really swollen. And I don't know, I guess we're all sort of gaining some COVID weight in quarantine.
Sure.
but when you're on a private yacht, you know, chances are you probably got a treadmill at home, right? So, yeah, it was his wife's assistant, and he said that she was pregnant and that she couldn't get her pants buttoned. And he was like, well, I got some pants I can't get buttoned either. And took a picture of himself with a little drinky poo in his hands that he said was black water. And so the board of directors said, you know what? Maybe you should get your stuff together and take a leave of absence for a little while and figure stuff out. But, you know, maybe that's because prayers really are answered. Maybe that is the good Lord just saying, you know what, America, you're having a hard time right now. I'm going to give this one to you.
Yeah, we're going to let him go. And look, you know, as the moral leader of the Christian right, I find his behavior, you know, in line.
You know, yeah, it's very much in line with the rest of the Christian right. It makes a lot of sense that he would be a complete hypocrite and a sleazeball. Because he just fits right in with that crowd.
Right in. But Sarah, I appreciate the time. As always, thanks so much. Keep up the great work there at Raw Story. You do great stuff. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Be safe.
Back at you, our good friend Sarah Burris. Make sure you check out her work over at Raw Story. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show.
Waving the flag of freedom for people, not corporations. Rick Smith.